Welcome back to Fun On Weekdays podcast, everyone. I'm here with a special friend, boyfriend. Can I call you that?
I am back, baby. you know, it's an honor to be back here. It's been a while. I don't know when the last episode was released, but when was that? Back in July, August, September?
It's hard to tell because
we recorded it like five times, so yeah, I don't know when it was actually out, but
it's hard to tell what day that was recorded, but it was recorded on Connor's couch, and now we are at a different place now, and at a different place mentally as well. So you guys, I thought it would be fun. Whenever I do like ask me anything on Instagram, it always does really well. You guys are always asking me really random stuff, but always advice. So I figured this would be fun to have you guys ask me for advice. And it could have been anything, relationships, friendships, career, personal. And ironically, all of them happen to be relationships pretty much. So instead of just giving my insight, I figured I would bring on another voice of reason and share both of our perspectives and hopefully help you guys with your love lives. Because when you're single, what you do for fun is different. When you're talking to someone, it's different. When you're in a relationship, you have fun different ways.
It's very true.
And when you're struggling with your relationship, you definitely maybe don't have as much fun. So
I wouldn't know about that one, but
oh, that's so sweet of you. Well, I'm just going to go in order of what I have right here on my computer. So there are a lot of submissions, and I just took some of the ones that were like the most commonly asked. So kicking it off, we are in our 20s. A lot of people that listen to my podcast are at a stage in their life where they may have encountered a friends with benefits. So my first question was, I have a friends with benefits and I feel like he could be more. How do I go about that? I would love to hear your advice on that.
My advice on that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about friends with benefits first of all. Do you think it works?
It's tough. I feel like someone always catches feelings. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
I would have to agree with that.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it always ends up being that someone catches feelings. But I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I just don't think it ends well ever.
Yeah. Know? I feel like two people go into it with one person having the intentions of like, oh, okay, I'm going to accept friends with benefits because I feel like eventually they could maybe like me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when it goes wrong. Is that there's just like not a mutual understanding of it. But if both parties are like, I kind of like this person and I want to try it out, but I also don't want to necessarily like cross the line and try and go on an actual date, then I feel like maybe it could work.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think with, okay, so I feel like it could potentially be more, but I don't know. I don't know. I feel like if you throw like some lines into the water, kind of see if he picks up on one, right?
Like what?
I don't know.
Well, give the girls some ideas, Connor. Well, we're here to like tell the girls how to navigate this. Hey,
very true. I need to be a little more talkative than this. I realize I am a little bit tired, so I'm going to open up a bit more. So you gotta break me in a bit.
Okay, you're doing great.
I don't know. I feel like if y'all are hanging out a lot, I don't know what the situation is, but let's say you're friends. I think if you're like hooking up, then maybe like, you know, see like, oh, hey, you want to watch a movie after? Hey, maybe you want to go get like some ice cream or some dessert or dinner. Then that leads maybe to some mini golf, maybe even throw the classic escape room situation. Yeah. Could even hook up in the escape room. That would be...
That's kind of hot. I kind of like that.
Absolutely unreal. There are video cameras that watch you, so I don't know if you could pull that off. Or if you like that. I don't know.
It kind of adds like another layer of excitement a little bit, I think.
True. But I don't know. I feel like maybe cast him a few lines out there, see if he picks up on one. Not necessarily that like the girl needs to make the first move or the guy needs to make the first move, but I think you want to know it's maybe reciprocated a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So... But, like, he also might be asking the same thing. So I think you have to try and find situations where maybe that can come out more. You know, he might be shy, too, or maybe not as open about that stuff. But I think if you're in situations where maybe it's a little more, like, romantic or stuff like that,
yeah,
then it gets beyond just, like, the friends with benefits situation?
I would say typically, like, a friends with benefits situation, too, is, like, maybe not very intimate at all. Like, it's literally just, like, an act. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no type of, like, intimacy or vulnerability there. And I think if there is, like, a moment where you do feel like there is more there than just, like, hooking up with someone, then maybe there are underlying feelings there. And I guess you have to put out the feelers, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be really scary because then you think, okay, well, what if he doesn't like me back? Okay, well, then do you either stay with the friends with benefits because you, like, want him to eventually like you as more? Or do you let go of the friends with benefits because it's actually not giving you what you deserve at all? And you're just staying with him because you're accepting, like, part of it because you just want to be around him.
That's a good point. I think people shouldn't be afraid of expressing how they feel to someone. Maybe you'll get rejected. I don't know. But I think at the end of the day, when you look back in your life, you'd rather say, like, hey, I put myself out there. It didn't work out with so-and-so. And that leads you to someone else. Like, maybe it won't work out with that person, but you'll find your person. So I think you want to put yourself out there and, like, maybe get rejected, because otherwise you're just going to be sitting there forever asking what if.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one thing. The other thing too, I do think putting yourself out there, like, it could risk the friends with benefits situation, because then maybe it's like, okay, this person caught feelings. Now I don't feel comfortable doing this with you because you like me, obviously, if he doesn't feel the same way. Or on the flip side, I think maybe
it could be the greatest thing.
Maybe he hasn't even thought of you in that light yet. And maybe it puts in his head, like, oh, wow, I've never even, like, thought about that with her. But now it's like, wow, she is amazing. I want to go to an escape room with her. I want to go to dinner with her. I want to eat dessert with her.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do more than just Netflix and chill. I want to actually watch the movie. You know, it's one of those things.
You either value keeping the friends with benefits mm-hmm. going, or you value your own feelings and what you deserve out of a relationship. Like, you get down to the time where you're like, okay, I have feelings for this person. You're either risking your own heart or you're risking, like, that relationship. And I think you just have to decide, like, what's more important to you. And it sounds like if you're asking me this question, it sounds like you should just go for it and tell him, like, put out feelers. You don't have to just straight up say, I really like you. You know, you can kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
you pick up on people's body language.
I think it's very rare that people are friends with benefits and there isn't any feeling there.
Yeah. Like, who does that, actually?
I don't think that's possible.
No. And I think everybody goes into a friends with benefits situation just hoping that they're going to end up like Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake. Like, you know, everybody has this glorified idea of what friends with benefits actually, like, what they want it to be mm-hmm. versus what it actually is. And I think at the end of the day, it's usually very messy, and it's usually someone is mm-hmm. getting hurt. Because, like, how often does a friends with benefits end because you're both like, I want this to end because I want to start seeing someone else. Like, someone is going to be the one to call it off.
For sure.
Or yeah. Someone is going to be the one that's going to try to progress things further.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if you're doing that, you're obviously very comfortable with that person.
That's true.
And you feel comfortable being intimate with them. And that's a huge part of a relationship, right? And I think if you have that,
mm-hmm.
and you don't necessarily want that as a foundation. Like, I don't think that should be the foundation of a relationship, but obviously, if you're comfortable enough to where you're letting that happen, I think that, you know, other areas of the relationship will probably come a little bit easier.
I do agree.
Or I think you would both be open to those other areas.
Yeah.
I think there's just, like, a weird bridge where neither of you wants to say it or acknowledge it. But I think everyone's probably feeling that a little bit.
Yeah. Do you know what month it is?
April?
Well, yes, it is April, but it is also Earth Month.
What?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, Macy's is making moves to help save our planet and help us thrive as planet and people for a brighter future.
No way.
Yes. So they are celebrating Earth Month this month by supporting the Community Schoolyards Project, whose mission is to transform underused blacktop playgrounds into beautiful green spaces.
Whoa, I love that.
Yes, and you can shop sustainable products and learn more about clean beauty business owners at Macy's.com/purpose.
Amazing. Go green. How do you know if your situationship, etc., is the person for you?
I think that is a great question that a lot of people get caught up asking themselves. You get into the situationship or whatever, you're like talking to someone. I like that it's gone from the talking phase to situationship. I think a lot of people call it a situationship more than talking. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
So what is the situationship between actually dating and like just talking, I guess?
I think so. I think a situationship, to me at least, is like a little bit more serious. Like maybe you're exclusive at this point. So when you're just talking to someone, maybe you're figuring it out. And then when you're in a situationship, you're like, okay, we're not quite boyfriend-girlfriend yet, but we are exclusive. We've been talking for a little bit, and I don't really know what this is. I think a lot of people get into that phase, and then they're like, okay, I don't know how to get out of this, number one. Mm-hmm. And then also, I don't know if like this person is the kind of person I want to actually date.
Yeah, good point. Actually, I do have a article that... Funny enough, I think this reads into just like a lot of dating recently in society. And it is hesitating rampant among singles right now. Now, what is hesitating?
This could be an entire episode in itself.
That's a good question.
I like that.
But this is an article on InStyle.com for anyone wondering. Hesitating is feeling indifferent about dating, unsure if you want to date seriously, casually... Or casually, because life in general is so uncertain right now. So, I mean, there's a lot more to this article, but I feel like that's the tough thing with situationships nowadays and just, like, dating in general amongst people our age and even younger, is there's a lot of hesitators. I think there's a lot of uncertainty in life. Mm-hmm. You're young, you don't know what you want, you don't know what you're doing. And I think it goes both ways with, like, everyone in a relationship. And you just never fully can, like, commit.
Yeah.
To being in it. So that's why I feel like situationships are so long now.
Yes.
I feel like I know a lot of people that are in a situationship and they're not actually dating.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people...
they're not dating anybody else.
They just don't want to like fully commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of the people that do want to fully commit, they're just so hung up on like the actual act of like being boyfriend or girlfriend. Like I don't know.
I feel like nothing, to be honest though... I feel like
nothing really changes.
Nothing is really different from the situationship to the actual dating. I think it's just like putting a title on it.
Yeah, but I do think that the title holds a lot of weight in someone's perspective of how they view the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, if I don't have like the title of like you being my boyfriend, then I'm like, well, why doesn't he like want to commit? Like then it's like, well, I can't commit my entire self, my entire vulnerability to someone if they're not willing to commit to even calling this relationship like what it fully is. And then I feel like you're kind of accepting like less than what you want, even though at the end of the day, like what you said, being boyfriend, girlfriend really is just a title. But I think for a lot of people, you need that in order to get out of the situationship. Well, I mean, obviously.
That's true. So how do you know if they're the person for you?
I would say that you just know, but a lot of times you just don't know. And I feel like if you have hesitations, well, then, like, that's not your person. Because the person that you are supposed to be with, I think you just inherently, like, look at that person and you know that you see a future with them. Or at least that you want a future with them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't know if, like, the future is going to work out, but to know that you just, like, want to pursue it. I think when you look at someone and you just feel like warmth and safe and like home, as like cheesy as that is, I feel like when you want to spend more time with that person than you want to spend alone, you know that you like really truly have feelings for someone. And that's sometimes really hard to cope with, especially if you haven't had feelings like that for someone in a long time. It can be like super overwhelming and you just don't really know how to react.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know. I feel like these questions are tough because there's not like a black and white answer. It's not like this is when you know, you know. But
we need more details of your specific relationship.
I don't know. I think nowadays there's a lot of hesitators and people wait so long to actually date. But I think sometimes it's like you're never gonna wake up. You're not gonna wake up one day and be like, "Oh my God, we need to date."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it. Sometimes it takes longer to develop. Sometimes it's instant. Everyone's different. I would say there's nothing wrong with like trying things further. If that makes sense. If you're in a situationship, if you're happy with each other, and you're like seeing each other, you're not hanging out with other people, not talking to other people, I don't think there's anything wrong with like, hey, let's try, like, let's take the next step and like see how it goes. And I think it's the same thing with like people moving in before they get married or like in a relationship when they move in. There's not a time. This might be a question on here
it
too.
Is a lot of people ask,
but there's, I don't think there's,
which we
a
can
time,
get to it,
and maybe for some people there is, but where it's like, hey, we need to move in together.
Mm-hmm.
For some people like to wait till they're married. Some people like to wait till they're engaged. Everyone's a little bit different. But I think it's one of those things you kind of just try out. And it kind of happens. You know, that conversation sparks up. And it's like, hey, you know what? What if we moved in together? What if we lived together? Stuff like that. And then it kind of just happens. And you see how it goes. And maybe it doesn't work out at all. Maybe it's terrible. But I think it's a great learning experience, and if it doesn't work out, you know more of what you want, what you don't want. And I think that's the same thing with like taking something from a situationship to a relationship.
Yeah. Going into that, the next question, which you kind of mentioned, was a lot. Oh my gosh. I would say probably like a fourth of the questions that people submitted or asking for advice about is knowing when it's time to move in with your significant other. And like you just said, it's so hard to be able to like tell you when, because it's just so dependent on your relationship. Like some people move in together before they're ever even dating. Like maybe you're roommates, maybe you're just like really good friends. I feel like you grow up maybe with the idea of like a traditional relationship where you date for maybe a few years and then you get engaged, and then before you get married you move in together, or maybe after you get married you move in together. And I think a lot of people feel a lot of pressure to move in together when they see their other friends moving in together. And then you start to compare your relationship and you think maybe because you haven't moved in together yet, it's not as serious as maybe some other people's. And I think once you start getting that idea in your head, it's so easy to fixate on like, well, why doesn't he want to live with me? And I think you have to ask yourself, like, do I really want to live with him, or do I just want to live with him because I feel like I'm supposed to at this point in our relationship? Because I think a lot of times too, people really don't realize how hard it is to live with a significant other. And a lot of people ask this, they're like, how do you balance living together, having like your own separate lives? Because, you know, obviously like a big part of your life is your relationship, but when you're living together, like, how do you find the separation? People ask, like, how do you share space, right? Like, people have different styles of living. They have different ways of cleaning and how they like their apartment to be. You have a closet. Like, a girl actually submitted saying, how do I get over, like, giving up my closet space? And I think you'll know that you're ready to move in with your significant other when you're like, I'm ready to give that up. And you're like, okay, I could give up a little bit of my closet. And then once you're ready to kind of share your space and your, not your freedom, but not like, not that it's invasive or anything, but it is like a lot. I think you have to be in the right mental place to live with someone and to share that much of your life with someone in order to know that you truly are ready to move in together. I think it's something you have to ask yourself individually. And then if you both think I could live with someone, then could we live together?
Yeah, I agree. That's a tough one, just because I know some people like to wait till they're married to fully move in together, which is totally fine. Like, it's very individualistic. Like, it's totally up to y'all and your relationship. But at least for me, I would rather live with someone, not necessarily early on, but like fairly early in the relationship. And I think once you reach a certain age of like, you're in your 20s, mid, late 20s, whatever, like, okay, you're probably getting closer in your life to actually like getting married and settling down with a family. And you're probably spending like most of your day and your time with that person anyways. So I don't know. It's like, why not just
why not save some money?
Go for it, you know? But not saying that's the best decision for everyone, but I think it's good because it, you know, I, like for me, I'd rather see earlier on than later if I can live with that person, because that is a big thing. And I don't want to get to the point where I'm engaged or married and that's the first time I'm living with that person. And maybe it's like terrible, but it like so early on in your relationship, I feel like in a marriage or a engagement, I don't want that to be a huge point of like tension. I'd rather get that tension out now and figure out what works and what doesn't. So whenever I do get engaged and married, it's just very seamless.
Yeah, because you are going to have like way more pain points from what I've heard of like when you get engaged and when you get married. So if knowing already how to live together is like not even on the table of things, then I think you're already off to like a pretty good start. I mean, living with someone really helps you like deepen your relationship with that person. Like you see them in a completely different light, right? Because you're constantly around them. Like you learn so much about their living habits. And I think if you can live with that person and you accept the way that they live their life, then you're like, okay, yeah, this could work. But to your point too, you could be dating for 5 years, never lived together. And then you move in together and you realize, wow, like these lifestyle patterns just do not align with what I want. And then you probably get to a place where you're like, well, now we live together and now I don't know what to do. So I feel like the living together thing is not an issue, but like a topic that everyone talks about right now because you just see a lot of other people doing it. And when you see couples who have been together for like 2 months living together and you've been with your partner for 5 years, it's really easy to just compare and think that you're just behind.
Yeah, and the other thing I would add too is like, let's say you don't live together and, you know, you go to work all day, you come home, you're probably tired, like you don't really want to go see anyone or hang out, and then you're like maybe going to see your significant other. I feel like you're limited on time sometimes, and maybe you feel more obligated of like, oh, I have to go spend time with this person because I'm dating them, versus I feel like if y'all are living together, then like the every night you come home and you're together and like you can go do your own thing and not feel, I don't know what's the right word, like guilty. Maybe for going and doing different stuff. Maybe you want to work out, maybe you want to go see a movie with some friends or go to dinner. I don't know what it is, but I feel like, at least in my opinion, you feel like you can do more of that stuff and not feel obligated to spend every single second where you're not working or required to do something else with your partner. And I think those like moments where you come home together, you cook, whatever that is, become more like frequent and special, you know, because it's like something you can look forward to every day versus like coming home tired from work and having to like go drive to go see them or
whatever. True.
You know, you're always just like, you're going home.
Yeah. I would say too, though, when you live with someone like, and you are with them all the time, it can be really, really easy to just like not make the time that you are together intentional. So kind of going off of living together, this girl submitted and she said, I'm in a relationship rut where we don't go on dates anymore. And I'm pretty sure they like live together. They've been together for a while. They probably see each other all the time, but they lost the spark. She says, what should I do about that? And what should I plan? I already know you're going to say an escape room, so don't say that.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you're in a relationship rut, not going on dates. I feel like this is a common problem a lot of people have in relationships. I really do. You get over like the honeymoon phase, and you know, you're both busy kind of doing your own thing, and I think you neglect to actually like grow and foster the relationship, and so you kind of plateau a little bit, and you're not actually like growing and like continually seeing each other in that romantic light. But I don't know, I feel like what would like get me going in a situation like that is like, it's like, hey honey, let's go on a trip. I booked a trip for us to go to Hawaii, or it doesn't have to be something crazy like that. It's like,
Or you don't
go for
even.
like a weekend getaway, go glamping. Ooh, that'd be fun. Or just do something like cool and different where y'all are totally shutting everything else out. Like forget about work, forget about your phone, whatever it is, and just focus on each other. And I to me, like that would really help. And I think everyone's like a little bit different. Everyone's relationship is different. For some people, connecting on that like deep level where you're shutting everything else out and just talking, I think is really good. But other people, it might be like, hey, let's go, like line dancing somewhere. And I think it's
That might
almost
be more
like,
like what I would do,
yeah,
probably.
it's well, I'm probably on the opposite
I
side of it.
know, I know.
But I think it's more, it's like, it just depends on like where, how did y'all's relationship start? What did y'all enjoy doing before? What did you guys connect on before? And then maybe try and do something like in that setting or that situation.
Yeah, and I think too, it's so easy after you've been dating someone for a while to just like not go on dates. But if you make one day a week like your designated date night, and then maybe you just take turns planning different things, and it could be something so simple. Like there was one night that we stayed in and we painted, and like we've never painted before. I haven't painted since like high school or college. I don't even know when. And it was just something like different and fun rather than just sitting and watching TV, which do that all the time too. I mean, like, you can still spend time with that person, but maybe like when you're doing those things, you have like deeper conversations. I think, like you said, it's important to get to the root of like, okay, why did we start dating? Like, what do we love about each other? And like, what is something that we can do together that will bring those qualities out of each other to remind ourselves like why we got into this relationship in the first place? And that might take like a little bit of time, but I think the first thing to do is to have a conversation with that person about it. And like, it doesn't need to be a confrontational, like, scary thing. I don't know. Like, I think that you could just say, like, hey, I feel like we haven't really been connecting that much lately. Like, what could we do to feel a little bit like closer to each other?
Okay, I agree to a certain extent, but I think in some people's situations and for some people, saying something like that can add pressure onto it and almost make them
Oh, well, what's
like
wrong?
turtle up more or what's wrong or create a bigger issue. And I don't think there's anything wrong with like addressing it, but I do think there's ways like of trying to find something y'all can connect on first, where maybe that problem will just go away.
Yeah.
Versus, and I don't know, that's tricky. And I don't mean to say like don't be vocal about a problem if you have it, or like vocalize something to your partner. You absolutely should. But I think there's
The
you know,
delivery.
it is all about the delivery. And I think there's ways where you can do it where it's not coming across like, hey, we have a problem in a relationship. Like we need to fix this. You know, because then it's almost like it's like a chore.
Well, I do think though, okay, I get that, but I also think that if you were to start that conversation and be like, hey, like, we haven't been on a date in a while, like, let's plan something
Yeah.
together.
So yes.
Okay, maybe that's what you say.
No, so I think that's great because you're not saying like, hey, I don't feel connected to
Okay, so we're saying,
you.
hey,
Yeah, no, it's
my
like,
bad.
hey, like, yeah, we haven't been on a
Taking
date in a little
notes.
bit. We haven't gone on like a trip or
Okay.
haven't done something where it's just us in a while. Like, let's go do something.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good. I think the biggest thing though, with whatever you do, you have to make it very intentional on both people. And so maybe that's making a rule. It's like, hey, we're going to put our phones in this box for the whole night and do whatever we're going to do. Or I don't know what it is, but I think doing something where you're just totally disconnected and you're focusing on the two of you, and maybe that is going line dancing, but I think it's like putting your phone away, not watching a basketball game or TV or a movie, but just like have fun with each other and try and connect that way.
So for us, we're recording a podcast together right now. This is how we're
Oh,
connecting. Okay, so that was like the relationship rut. Okay, these are really not in any particular order. I was just writing them down, ones that came up often. So a lot of girls want to know, and by all means, I could tell you guys like how I flirt and how I would approach a guy, but I and the girls would like to know from your perspective, how do you want a girl to flirt with you and how do you want a girl to approach you? There were so many girls who were like, I have a crush on this guy, he's so attractive, or I've seen somebody at a bar that I've like been interested in, or I have a friend that I like really like. How would you suggest that these girls flirt and talk to them?
I didn't know this question was being asked of me.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pressure. I feel like we should pull Mike in here. I feel like he'd have a better answer than me.
Mike? Oh, Mike X?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Zhaozhu.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like... Can I speak for you?
You can speak for me.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like in most guys in general are attracted to girls that are... like bold,
mm-hmm.
you know, that like aren't afraid to make the first move and like are just very confident. And so I say, like, if you have a crush on someone, literally just like go up to them and start talking to them. I always say, like, well, obviously, you know, I don't do this anymore, but when you make eye contact with someone, you can see in their eyes basically if they're interested in you. And, like, you can see them out of the corner of your eyes. Like, keep them in your peripheral vision and see if they look at you again. And what I say is, if you see them in the corner of your eye and they're looking at you, you look at them and you basically, like, catch them looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they almost feel like they've been caught checking you out. And then it's, like, kind of the ball is in their court at that point because they're the one that got caught. And then they'll probably come up to you and say something. But I think that there's literally no harm and going up to a guy, maybe you go with, like, a group of friends. So, like, I don't know. I guess this really depends on where you're at. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're at a coffee shop. Maybe you're at a bar. I think, obviously, it's, like, a little dependent. But in any situation, I think most guys, like, that's very flattering.
Mm-hmm.
If you go up to him and you're like, hey, you just spark a conversation. It doesn't have to be like, hey, you're hot. What's your number? What's your Snapchat?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's tough for me because I don't think I'm the best person to answer this because I honestly have not... I don't really go out that much.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a sad way. I'm not lonely or...
You better not be lonely.
No. I just like kind of like doing my own thing.
Yeah.
You know? But I totally agree. I think eye contact is the biggest thing. And... whether if you're at a bar or even like yoga class or on a plane at the airport, I feel like you can kind of tell if someone's interested just by if you like look at each other and if you do catch them looking at you or if you're looking at them, like give them a little smile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But don't make it creepy to where you are like staring at them.
Oh, okay.
You know? Like that would kind of like weird me out.
That is one thing. And I feel like you're in a different position, too, to give advice, because I feel like people do that, and it's seen as, like, kind of creepy, even though, like, when you see someone you're kind of interested in, like, you want to look at them and wait for the exact moment to go up to them, but sometimes it actually, like, kind of bites you in the butt, because it's just, like, kind of awkward. So I think...
Yeah, I don't know.
You have to just do it.
I'm trying to think of, like, the progression of how it goes. Let's say you're at a bar... you're kind of on opposite ends, maybe you're standing close to each other, I don't know, but you look at each other, maybe you smile, then...
I'm telling you.
Okay, and then I think you kind of, like, scoot a little bit closer, you know? Like, go, you know, wrap around to his end of the bar, and then I think eventually...
Throughout the night, he's, like, gonna come up to you at some point.
Yeah, but okay, how... I guess, let's say he doesn't. Let's say you guys made eye contact, but... he hasn't made a move.
Okay.
What would you do to officially, I guess, like, make that move? Would you accidentally bump into him?
Spill
his drink?
I think I would go to the bathroom, and I would, like, intentionally walk past their group, and maybe, like, this is so bad. I think I might smile at his friend. And then he'll be like, what the heck? I thought she was, like, looking at me. And then he'll be like, wait, but... And then if the friend is into me, then, like... every guy likes competition, so he's naturally going to be interested in me if his friend is. Do you think that works or no?
If that happened to me, I would like be uninterested.
Oh my god! Okay, guys, I don't. All right,
I'm not because I wouldn't want to. I'm not trying to like compete with my friend, and I also don't.
Interesting take.
I don't know if I would be as like interested in a girl if in my view, she's, like, flirting with a bunch of people at the bar.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tough. I feel like I've said that about every question, but...
well, I haven't, like, flirted with anyone in, like, a year, so I don't really... I'm a little rusty. Okay.
Okay, no, I think this is what you do.
You got it?
I mean, I'm assuming you're probably there with a friend or friends or a group. And you go over to his area, maybe he's by the bar, and you like order some shots for your friends, and maybe you happen to get an extra one, and then you give it. You're like, you bump him,
Okay.
and you're like, hey, we have an extra shot. Do you want it? And then you take a shot with him, immediately opens up conversation.
Okay, I like that. That's actually a good idea. This is a tangible thing that you guys could do,
That has
other than us
been
just saying.
unused by me, but I just thought of it. And I honestly, I think it could be a good one.
Okay, I'm gonna use it on you next time we're out. All right. Okay, this is a really good question that I feel like.
But let me say, you
Oh.
don't have to drink to have fun. I don't really
Yeah.
drink that much, and maybe that's why I've never done that before.
Well, actually, this will segue into the next question because we'll just skip around a little bit. So, a lot of people obviously are like on dating apps in this day and age. Like, a lot of people feel as though that's kind of the only way to meet people really anymore is like dating apps or when you're out at a bar. And a lot of people are like, I'm not having luck with it. I'm just so over it. I think dating apps are very superficial. I think a lot of people agree with that. And so, a lot of the questions that were asked for me is advice on how to meet somebody other than online. And I put this on my Instagram story, but my key is like, all of your, fr well, one of your friends somewhere has a guy friend who has a guy friend that you would probably be interested in. Like, I think truly the best way to meet people really is through mutuals because you can like vouch for each other's personalities. And if you already have like two people that you know mutually that you can automatically kind of click and connect on, well, okay, then you can meet up in a group. Or once you like meet up, maybe you're on a date together, like you already have something to talk about. And I feel like it's just so much easier to meet somebody that has a mutual friend because you know that they're not going to be like crazy. You know, you have people that know them and can tell you about like their character and stuff. And I feel like most relationships that I know of from my friends literally are through mutuals. They're not just like random people that they met at the bar. And I feel like what you're going to say is,
Do you want me to just say what I'm gonna say?
yeah, I do, but I'll tell you if I'm right.
So, I do think that's good, but at the same time, my worry whenever I've even thought about setting up two people that I know is if this works out terribly and ends terribly, then it's gonna be incredibly awkward to like hang out with the two of those people again.
True.
So,
True.
and not that I've really done that, I guess, but I think that would always be my hesitation with it.
Okay.
And I don't know. So I agree that dating apps are hard now because I think it feeds into a lot of the hookup culture. And there's no doubt that some people are on those just to be weird and hook up with everybody.
Yeah. And feel your own ego. I mean, come on, everybody does it. Like, you go on there because you want to feel good about yourself. Like, if people are interested in you, it gives you like confidence in yourself. And I think a lot of people do that. And so, for that reason, people get this fix. And then it's not because they're actually on there to find someone, it's because they're on there to feel a little bit better about themselves. And that's why people don't commit. And that's why nothing comes of it.
I don't know. Your cousin just got married, and
True.
I
They met on
mean,
Bumble.
yeah, they did meet on Bumble. I think there's some dating apps that are better than others, obviously, but
Let's hear it.
I think some can work. It just like you have to be cautious about what you're doing as well, and really like feel that person out, I guess, before you maybe go on a date with them or go further than that, you
Yeah.
know? Like I think, yeah, I don't know. And it depends on your situation. Like I don't know if maybe you're not matching with people or just not like finding people that you're interested on there. It fully depends on that. But if that like truly isn't working, I'm a big fan of like, okay, what are you interested in?
This is what I thought you were gonna
Yeah,
say.
no, I love this. Like, what are you interested in your life? Like, what gets you going? And I think for anyone, your answer shouldn't necessarily be going out. Because although you can meet a lot of people that way, I think a lot of times that is no different than a dating app. To me, that's just like essentially an in-person dating app.
Hot take.
It is a hot take.
Interesting.
But
Okay, tell us about it. Why do you
I
think
just think
that?
that everyone, you know, when you're drinking, a lot of times you're not truly yourself,
Okay.
right? And I think that just leads to like the hookup culture a little bit. And so
Okay.
my thought is, okay, if I'm doing something that I love, maybe it's yoga, maybe I have a dog, take him to the dog park.
Well, you do. You do have a dog.
I do have a dog. He can't go to the dog park though, he's too young. Or I always use yoga as the example.
Whole Foods would be a good one
I'm
for
trying to think of
you.
other things. Whole Foods. Maybe I like to drink coffee and like work at the coffee shop, so maybe I should do that or other things. And when you're at those places, open your eyes a little bit. I think sometimes we go to things that we love to do and we just like have these blinders on and focus on what we're doing and we leave. But
Yeah.
maybe after yoga, linger around a little bit and like talk to someone or make eye contact with the hot guy at the coffee shop and send him a coffee or like go sit by him or something. I don't know what it is, but I think if you're doing something you love, then you're putting yourself in a place where,
You're gonna meet people who also love what you're
yeah,
doing.
and you don't necessarily need to love what your partner also loves,
Yeah.
but I think there should be something that you have like a mutual connection on sometimes. It depends on the people, but to me, I think when you're doing something you love and you meet someone there, that's like when you're putting yourself in the best position to actually meet someone that you can truly connect with, because you're like already connecting on something. It's not like you're trying to fish for something, which I think dating apps, that's typically what it is. You're trying to like have a very small talk conversation to find something, some sort of commonality that you can like build off of,
Yeah,
you know?
I would agree
And
for
a lot of
sure.
times the only commonality that you build off of is, hey, I think you're hot, you know?
True. Yeah. I mean, that is, typically the reason why you're matching with that person is because you find them attractive, because you don't know anything about their character to know that you would like anything else. And even if you did love their character and like maybe they have a very small flaw in your eyes, like they could be an amazing person. You probably swiped like the opposite way on them. But if you meet them in person, then like you would be able to actually see that.
Yeah, you can also just look them up on TikTok and see their full personality,
That is
you
very true, Yeah,
know?
you saw a lot of my personality before you met me and you're like, this girl's crazy. But that is true. I feel like
The other thing too, with dating apps, and I don't know if I was watching this on a no, it was a TikTok video.
Okay.
Actually, I'm gonna pose my own question.
Okay.
Should dinner dates as first dates be like taboo?
Oh, that was my friend Daniel Bennett. That was on his
Yeah,
podcast.
yeah. So I think what was said is that you should only get drinks.
Yes, they were basically saying like on a first date you only deserve to get drinks, and then if that goes well, then you deserve a more intimate setting where you are going to dinner and you're doing something that's like a little bit
Yeah,
more
but
serious.
anything with planning, anything that requires planning or like different events or whatever isn't allowed, only drinks. That's the clip that I saw.
I did see that as well.
What are your thoughts? First thought.
I don't agree because I think like if I'm on an app or I'm meeting somebody and like my intention truly is to see if like this is a person that I would want to date and I'm looking for a boyfriend, I'm looking for something serious, then that first date like tells you so much about how much effort they're willing to put into a relationship and how much energy they're going to give you. And if they
Okay.
don't put in any time to plan it, then for me it's like, oh, well, he doesn't care enough to give me like the best first impression that he could. But I can also see it on the flip side because I feel like what you're gonna say is, I know you are the type of person that you like to get to know somebody first to see if they're the kind of person that you want to take on a date. And I feel like the drinks allows you to kind of get to know someone without putting so much pressure on like planning a very intentional date.
Oh no,
Or
I hate the drinks
oh,
thing.
you hate it.
Yeah,
Okay.
I thought that was the worst take. I'm sorry,
Oh
whoever said that,
my Daniel, all love.
literally the worst take ever. Oh, why? First of all, not everyone likes drinking, so like already you're alienating a decent amount of people.
I would say though, the people that enjoy to go out every single weekend probably aren't going to date somebody that's like sober. Or the people that like are
True.
sober probably aren't going to be attracted to people that like to go out all the time.
True, but my point is you sh I don't think your first time meeting should be centered around like drinking.
Yeah, no, I
I like
agree.
it, I don't want, and I'm not saying people are like going to get drunk or whatever, but I think it needs to be in like a more relaxed setting where I can actually like focus my attention on that person. And it doesn't, I agree, like dinner is, can be kind of awkward.
Well, yeah, because right, you're eating.
Yeah, I will say like it depends on where you go. There's some places where dinner could be really fun.
True.
You know, but if you're going to like a traditional restaurant, yeah, for sure. Like that can be weird if you're meeting this person for the very first time. And so, and let me say this. Some people getting drinks on the first date is totally fine. Let me backtrack a little bit. For me, I would never do that just because not that I'm trying to plan like the most extravagant first date ever, but I think you need to put yourself in a setting where maybe it's like a little bit uncomfortable for both people, or where you can open up and like you're doing an activity or something where it's not just focused on like each other, mm-hmm. you know, because I think if you're awkwardly focusing on each other, getting drinks,
yeah,
that can create like a weird setting to actually get to know somebody. But let's say
you're putt-putting or something and you have an activity to focus
or
on.
Or my all-time favorite, the good old escape room. I think those are really fun activities where, let's say it wasn't even a date, you were just going with friends. You would have a good time doing that. And I think it allows you to have fun with someone, open up, and then after, if that goes well, you can go get drinks or go get dinner. And it's incredibly less awkward because you almost feel like you know somebody, maybe you've accomplished something with them, like an escape room, like you escaped mm-hmm. or
true.
Whatever else it is. But I think doing something where you can open up a bit, like get to know them, have fun, it lightens the whole mood, and then the rest of the night is way, way easier.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I just don't like the drinks thing. I feel like so many people do that, and maybe that's more of a New York thing or a California thing. I don't know. But for
it's
me...
It's just not your thing.
It's just not my thing. Like, why can't you get coffee or something else?
True. I don't even know where we took that from what the original question was, but we're going to mm-hmm. get back to the questions. And so the next one is... Okay, I feel like this is a good question to ask us specifically because people have a lot of opinions, but... advice on how to stop caring about other people's opinions on your relationship. I feel like this is something that I obviously like, well, I mean, not obviously, but something that I struggle with a lot because I didn't think anyone cared about my relationships until people cared about me or like knew me and you have like eyes on you. And then of course, obviously you have a lot of opinions of people that don't actually know you. And maybe sometimes like you don't think that they don't think that their words are going to be seen, but in a different setting where it's like you're caring about your hometown or your friends or your parents or your ex or maybe your current boyfriend's ex, like caring about what all of those people think about your relationship, what kind of advice do you have for that?
that's okay. Well, family's a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think family, I would... like listen to my family and their takes on people. Although I do think there's circumstances where you shouldn't, but because at the end of the day, if you're happy with whoever you're with, it shouldn't really matter like what other people say. I think that's kind of always my opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I would say family and like good friends are a different level of like, okay, maybe I'll listen to that, but I don't know. That's kind of my like take on it from the beginning.
Yeah. I guess I would say ask yourself, why do you care?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you care? Is it because, like, maybe you don't feel secure with your relationship, so you look to other people and how they view your relationship to validate it? And, like, I would say I've done that. Like, I think any normal person has done that at some point in their life. Like, you're just not fully confident in your relationship, so you want other people to, like, tell you that it's great and that they're good together and that, like... they can tell that you're happy, you know? Because I think sometimes when you're not completely sure of it, you look to other people. And so maybe that's why you care. And I think if you fully are, like, happy in your relationship, you don't need other people's opinions. And the things that they say, like, it might bother you, but it won't hold the same weight that it would if you were, like, relying on that.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think when you have maybe internal struggles with something or, like, you're insecure about something in your relationship, you're gonna listen to those people that maybe say something negative about it, or that's gonna echo in the back of your head. But yeah, I think if you're happy and content with your own life and your relationship, then, you know, honestly, you probably don't care about what anyone else thinks. So
yeah, for sure. All right, and going into that too, you said that obviously, like, opinions that you do care about are your family and your friends. And this girl says, my friends don't like my boyfriend because of things that happened in the past, but I've forgiven him. They can't seem to move on, and they won't give it up, and they won't give him another chance. My thing is,
I think it depends what he did.
I agree with that.
I am curious what he did.
I know. Girl, if you're listening to this, we need, like, a little bit more context. But I would say, I think about the times that you've talked about your significant other, the guy that you're talking to, or like your boyfriend, whatever. Think about the times that you've vented about him to your friends, and you're probably only sharing like your side of the story and like what he did to upset you. And so of course your friends are gonna like take your side because they only know your side. And so then when you forgive that person and they only know like what that person has done wrong to you, but maybe not what you've done wrong to the boy, then of course, like, they're probably gonna have a different perspective of why you shouldn't forgive them. And so I guess I've been a lot better about, like, and maybe this is definitely like something hard to do, is like internalizing things that I'm upset with, because I don't want what I tell people about my relationship to affect the way that they see my partner. And so I guess in the future, just like be careful about what you're sharing. Like, if it's just a minor like little fight and you're telling your friends, oh my God, he did this and this and this, like over time, those are going to build up and they're of course going to form an opinion about him because you're telling them all the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you're telling them the great things too, like obviously every single relationship has struggles, but oftentimes we really only talk about the fights and not like the great things.
Yeah, that is very true. On this one, I don't know, I feel like I have a couple different takes or like sides to it. I think sometimes your friends or family or other people can see things in a relationship or in your partner that maybe you don't see, and maybe sometimes you're caught up in like the romanticization of the relationship and your partner, and like maybe like oblivious to other things that are going on. So sometimes I do think that listening to friends and actually like understanding what they're saying can be good, but it depends on the situation. So I don't know, like
I think it could be good, but only if you're sharing. But only if you're sharing all the details and you're not just skewing it towards yourself, which, is so easy to do.
That's true. So, like, I don't know. When I was younger, my mom told me something about someone that I was hanging out with. And she ended up being right, let's say. But I was very caught up in the whole situation. So, being young me, I was like, no. And I did what I thought was following my heart, but it ended up making me heartbroken. So I do think sometimes listening to like loved ones or friends is good, but I agree, like getting the full context of the story. But at the same time, this goes into the last question we talked about. Like, if you're happy and truly content with that, then it shouldn't really matter like what others think or say about your relationship. And maybe he did something that was bad, or I don't know what it was, but maybe he owes your friends an apology and maybe that would make them feel more comfortable. But like that could help too. I don't know, it really depends on the situation. Like, I think if you're almost living two separate lives where you have your friends then you have him, that's tough. I think you need to try and bring those together, and like maybe it's having him spend more time with your friends, and maybe your friends will hate it at first, I don't know. But maybe do an escape room with everyone.
Yeah, that was going to be my solution. Opens everybody up. Was like, if your friends don't like them, then obviously like they're not going to want to hang out with him. But if they don't hang out with him and they don't make a conscious effort to get to know him, they're never going to like him. And then like, you don't want to end up marrying someone that your friends don't like, and then they're sitting at your wedding one day and they're like, ugh, you know, like I think.
But also, I think your friends should want to make an effort.
Yeah,
if they're for your sure. true friends, right? Mm-hmm. I think it goes both ways, and your boyfriend should also make an effort to get them to like him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they liked him before and he did something, and now they don't. It's kind of on him.
Yeah,
actually.
Okay. Next one. My boyfriend broke up with me. Then he begged for me back. We got back together, and I found out that he hooked up with his ex in between. We were only broken up for a month and a half. Should I forgive him because we were broken up?
No.
I agree. I think as much as you say that, like, you can move past it, you are never going to move past it because you're always going to think about that. And even if you, like, forgive him and you're giving him grace because you weren't together at that time, I think, like, well, first of all, why did you break up? And why did he beg for you back? I don't know. I think he begged for you back because he wanted to try something else out. He realized he didn't enjoy it as much. And then he came, like, crawling back to you and just expected you to accept him.
Mm-hmm. But and who knows if that's going to happen later on in life, too, or later on in the relationship. I don't know. If that happened to me, I would never be able to forget that and get it out of my head. And it would forever annoy me and bother me. And I don't know. I think that... I don't know.
That's a no for me. Especially if you were not doing anything in between that month and a half. Like, okay, it's one thing if, like, maybe you were going out and you were, like, mm-hmm. hooking up with someone, or you were going on dates or whatever, and, like, you both really truly gave it a chance to be separate. But if you were just, like, in that month and a half thinking about wanting to get back together with this person, and he's telling you, I'm so sorry, like, I will do whatever I can to be with you and make you happy again.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, he's entertaining another girl. Like, that just doesn't sit right with me. And I mean, it's up to you if you want to move past it. But I don't think I would be able to, because I think it just shows. I don't know. It shows a lot about him.
Mm. Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like the fact that it was an ex, too.
Yeah.
Is also, that just kind of adds to it to me. Because then I would start questioning, well,
how long have you guys been communicating? Was this premeditated?
Was, like, the reason we broke up in the first place because you were interested in her? Like, were y'all talking for a while? Were we even together? Like, do you still have feelings for her? All of those things. And I don't know that. I wouldn't be able to get past that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next one. And I really like this question because I feel like I resonate. I am terrified to say I love you first to my boyfriend, but I feel it and I want him to know. How do I not overthink it? I feel like when the moment is right and you know, like, you can't hold it in for any longer. Like, you just get, like, so excited to share it that you just want to say it. And I feel like you can tell when the person feels it back. And I think you just can't get so over in your head about wanting it to be perfect and, like, wanting it to be, like, this very, very special moment and, like, setting it up. And, like, that's totally fine. Maybe you want it to be, like, a really special romantic night and, like, I don't know, maybe you're planning a very elaborate date and then you're planning to tell him on the date. I don't think that necessarily makes it any more special than if you were literally just, like, sitting in your bedroom talking, having, like, a deep conversation and you tell him in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's special no matter what the atmosphere is, as long as you're being vulnerable and you're, like, letting your guard down to that person. And I think the only reason why you're overthinking it is maybe because you want it to be special and perfect, and maybe you're overthinking, like, he's not going to say it back. But if you overthink that, you could maybe just, like, never get it out, and I think that would eat you alive even more. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being the first one to say I love you. I think maybe people have this idea that, like, the guy has to say it first. I don't think that's true. I didn't. So I'm a big advocate. Just say how you feel. Like, the worst thing that happens is maybe you get your heart broken. But at least then you know you have a heart, right?
True. But if they're, wait, so they're dating?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, they're dating, my boyfriend.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I mean...
Well, there you go. It's even easier then.
Yeah, I feel like y'all are comfortable with each other already, but I remember the first time I said I love you, I was what, like, 16, 17? I don't know. Pretty young. You're in, like, the high school fairy tale stage, loved Nicholas Sparks movies. You know, I was just, like, Googling what is love.
Oh, yeah.
How do I know if I'm in love? all of those things. And I remember it took me so long to say it. And even like the day I did say it, it was like the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I thought I was going to throw up. It was crazy. But I don't know. I feel like maybe we overthink a lot of things a little bit and forget to just like live in the moment. And I don't think it should be like constantly thinking like, oh, I need to tell him I love him. Just like enjoy being with that person. And I think when the time is right, you'll feel comfortable saying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it won't feel like you're going to throw up. Or I mean, maybe it will. I don't know. But you'll still have those butterflies and everything. But I think you kind of just have to like enjoy the moment, enjoy the time, enjoy whatever you're doing. And there's no like time and place where you need to say I love you to someone. I think it just kind of comes out and happens when it feels right. And usually that's in a more maybe like intimate setting, not necessarily like sexual intimacy, but
yeah,
you know, maybe like during a date or whatever it is. I think you'll feel right when you want to say it, mm-hmm. You know?
Speaking of that, the next question, and then we're going to wrap it up because I feel like we answered a lot of questions. We covered a lot of topics that like actually weren't asked at all because we just kind of went on our own little mm-hmm. tangent. But speaking about sexual relations in a relationship, because obviously that's a big part of it. People want to know how to rekindle the sexual desire in long-term relationships. And what?
Well, I don't
know. Are you thinking?
No. Okay. I don't know. My mom might listen to this. I don't know what that is.
Well, no. I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to give you like sex tips.
What other questions we got in here?
No, my thing was going to be, I was going to say like, well, that I feel like what you would say is comes with like the intimacy, like mental intimacy, like connecting with them, like on a mental.
And then it
kind of like translates into physical intimacy.
Yeah. Good point. I think sometimes when maybe intimacy or whatever is lacking and maybe you don't feel like you're connecting, people try and force the physical intimacy because they think, oh, this will help us reconnect or whatever. I'd say
and
that
sometimes I think it could, but
I was gonna say that never works.
I was gonna say like sex without mental intimacy, I feel like doesn't solve the problem at all. If anything, it makes it worse.
Right.
Because then you're like, well, what the heck? Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you have to fix whatever is like the root of the problem. And if it's you're not connecting, I don't think it's you're not connecting on like a sexual level. I think it's you're not connecting mentally and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you are connecting mentally and emotionally with someone, everything else comes easier. So I think that's where I would start. It's like, okay, you know, outside of that, are we actually connecting? Are we going on dates? Do we feel like we truly love each other? And if that answer is no, I think you need to explore that. If the answer is yes,
then like maybe there's something going on there.
Well, if the answer is yes, you do feel like you're connecting. I think there's ways to spice things up.
Okay. Do you have any ideas?
I don't.
I feel like
Google
you do.
Is a great tool.
Okay. Be careful though. You might have your search history on. So it depends who you're around.
An iPad.
Oh my god. Yeah, okay. I don't want Okay. Last one and then we're done. So last one and then we're done. So a lot of people are at a stage in their life where they have been with people in the past, or maybe like you haven't. It doesn't really matter. But a lot of people have been heartbroken. Whether you were dating someone for 10 years or maybe you were talking to someone and they broke your heart in 2 months, it doesn't really matter. But a lot of people wanted to know, how do you go about a new relationship after being single so long or being hurt before?
Mm. That one hits home with me.
Yeah?
It does.
Well, I feel like you have some good advice then. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like what was being like hurt before, being mm-hmm. heartbroken maybe. Yeah, I think that's really tough because I think you come out of that situation and you feel like you're never gonna find someone else, or maybe you're like unlovable or different things like that. I don't know. I've been there. I just think it's very difficult coming out of a situation where you've been heartbroken, and it depends on like what the heartbreak is too, but everyone's situation is unique. And I think one, it's like, okay, you need to find out who you are, what makes you happy, what gets you excited. And I think a lot of times when you're in your best position in life and like you're happy, you're doing your own thing and all of that, which don't get me wrong, it's incredibly difficult after you leave a situation heartbroken, whatever it is. But once you get to that place, it can take a while. You attract the person that is going to be right for you. And that's why oftentimes I think we worry too much about like, oh, you know, I'm single. I've been single for so long. I haven't dated someone in 5 years after I was cheated on or got dumped or whatever. And I think when we constantly like dwell on those things, you're never gonna find the right person. If you do find someone, I think oftentimes it's not at a good point, a good starting point. And so I think if you put yourself in a position where you are happy as an individual, you've grown as an individual, then you attract the right person, and I think it just comes super easy.
And then I think too, once you do get into that relationship, like the best thing that you can do is just get to know each other's like previous history. Like, okay, what are some things that didn't work in your past relationships? What are things that made you insecure or some of the things that like you struggled with the most? And I think if you can be open and honest about those things and you can both understand your history and like the things that make you tick and like maybe make you a little bit sensitive to some topics or some things that your partner might do, like certain actions, I think then you can better understand how to navigate a relationship with that person based on some of the ways that like you've been hurt in the past, and you can just be a lot more mindful of that. But that being said, like the way that people have treated you in the past is not a reflection of how the person that you're currently with is treating you. And so to like let go of all of those like burdens and like baggage from the past is something that is incredibly hard to do. And I feel like if you don't, like you are going to naturally like relive the same cycle of the last relationship you were in because you're treating it like it is the same relationship. And I think it can just be really tough, especially like if you have a history of being in toxic relationships and you don't necessarily know what a healthy relationship feels like, it can be like really overwhelming. You're just constantly waiting for like something bad to happen. And that can be really hard to be in a relationship after a long time of being single. And I think what you said is like, once you are really in a good place, the person that is right for you will like come about. And I think you guys will learn how to like love each other based on how you need to be loved and how it didn't work
Yeah,
previously.
I agree. I think it, like you said, it is tough if you've had some sort of heartbreak or something from before, because even though you can feel totally ready to date and be in a relationship, there can be something that happens, even the smallest thing, that triggers that past memory of whatever had happened before. Or, you know, maybe you do get in a relationship and you start getting insecure about something that happened from the past, or it brings up those memories from before. Even if like nothing happened, it can just come up because maybe you feel like you're starting to get really serious with this person, and then it's like, oh gosh, well, last time I was really serious with someone, this happened. And I agree, like, it is true, everyone's different. You can't expect that this new person is going to do the same thing as the other person. But I do think a little bit, like, okay, it's a relationship, it's a partnership. You should understand maybe what happened in someone's past. This is why they are the way they are. And I think a little bit that person needs to kind of help you. Like, okay, maybe you're like cheated on in a past relationship, I guess. And that's something that's like really worrying to you as you get more serious into to this next relationship. I think that per not that that person needs to constantly give you validation and reassurance and whatever, but I think, and I don't know what it is, but I think that person needs to make you feel comfortable that that's not going to happen. And I
I
don't
think to
know.
in a certain extent,
Yeah.
yes, like they need to
No,
guide you
yeah.
towards that. But I think overall, like say it's been like 2 years and they're still like insecure, like that is something that is internal with that person based on their past that they're clearly like not letting go of. And it's not your job to fix people.
True.
But at the beginning of a relationship, I do agree with you that you could help guide them in like, hey, I'm not like your ex-girlfriend. Like, I respect you. I am loyal to you. And if doing XYZ will make you more comfortable with us and it'll help build our trust, then I'm more than willing to do that. And then I think over time, you'll eventually like grow that. And
Well, yeah, I think it starts from building trust for sure. But I don't think you can necessarily just say, hey, I'm not that person. You should trust me. I think you have to work on that and build it. And over time, you're right. Like, I think it gets to that point where it's like, hey, yeah, I forgot about this. It doesn't bother me anymore or whatever. But I don't think that's something that just happens overnight or just changes from a conversation. I think there's little things that both people can do to help fix that. But I'm not saying it's on the other person in the relationship to like hold their hand and guide them through it and like always be by their side and telling them they're not going to cheat on them or whatever the issue was. But I do think it's like, if you love this person, if you're in a relationship with them, you should want to help them feel comfortable and not like anxious or whatever about a situation. But yes, it is that person's like own internal struggle. But I think in a way it's a partnership. Yeah. It's a relationship. Everyone's problems are each other's a little bit.
I think just overall treating your new relationship like it truly is a new relationship and like establishing your boundaries, talking about your past, but knowing that your past is not your future, I think is really the key. And that's how it'll set you up for like a healthy relationship in the future. But it can be like really scary to get into a new relationship after a long time of being single, or maybe like a really long-term relationship that you felt like you would never love someone again. It can be like really difficult to finally let your guard down. And I think that can take a long time too. And if you let your partner know like where you're at, I think the best thing that you can do is just be transparent and just honest. And
yeah, that's a good point. I think like not letting things build up. Mm-hmm. And maybe there is something bothering you, and maybe a boundary has been crossed that you haven't expressed, but like expressing those things earlier than later, I think is really important, because when you let that build up longer, it just creates more resentment. And then when it does come out, it creates an even bigger, you know, fight, argument, whatever it is. And so I think if you can set those boundaries earlier, build the trust earlier, be open with each other earlier, as it grows later on, it just becomes easier. And then when different things happen, they're easier to address and talk about.
Yeah, good answer.
Oh, thank you. Guys, this was great. Another episode of Fun on Weekdays. It's good to be back here with y'all. I missed you. I missed my besties. My girlies. I really did. But it's fun to be back. And, you know, maybe we can make this a more permanent thing.
Yeah,
maybe I can do a little residency, a little
a co-host action,
little like 2-3 month residency here, a little co-host action.
Interesting. What would the cadence be like? Would you be on it every week? Is this an every other weekend?
I was thinking like 3 months straight.
Okay, well we could talk about the finer details, and I guess after this we'll let the people know what they want, and maybe we'll answer some more advice. And maybe this was like not the best advice, but I don't know, I felt like it was fun. A lot of people just like get really stressed about relationships, and I'm right there with you. And it all works out when it's supposed to work out. So I feel like us being here now, recording this again, after doing it all the way in July, August, whenever, it doesn't matter, is a good testament. So.
And we have made a big stride today, because this is a one take situation.
Yeah.
Versus last time, how many? 3?
We recorded an episode 4 times. Before it went live. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no alcohol was involved in the making of this.
Yeah, so I don't drink alcohol. Need to loosen up. I don't drink alcohol when I record anymore. I realized that I can't do it. I have to re-record like 5 times. So, okay, we're done spewing random words. We're going to sign off. Do you have any final words? Or what's your fun on weekdays advice this week? Like, what's your activity? Of something fun to do.
I feel like my last one was an escape room. I know
it was. Definitely 100% was.
What's yours? Give us one.
Let's see. What's something fun that I did this week? Well, this isn't very applicable to anyone that doesn't live in Austin or like somewhere that's warm, but we rented a boat the other night, just like very spontaneously, and it was super fun. Just like getting out on the lake, getting on the water. Or maybe if you can't be on the lake, like on a paddleboard or a kayak or a boat or something, maybe go walk around a body of water. I don't know what it is about a body of water, but it just like, it's an instant mood shifter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like that. Okay. Yeah.
Did you think of something?
In the essence of this episode and dating, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to challenge everyone, all the single people out there. Go do something you love this week.
Okay.
Whether that's, again, yoga, paddle boarding, going on a walk.
Work out of a coffee shop.
Work out of a coffee shop. Go, I don't know. Whatever floats your boat. Whatever you like doing. And while you're there, spark up a conversation with someone that you don't even have to be attracted to them. But just,
I like that.
Just spark up a conversation with someone different.
With a stranger.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
I like that too.
And yeah.
And then
I was trying to add something else.
You'll be responsible if they ever fall in love, and then you guys will automatically have to invite us to the wedding. So.
Yes.
Okay, you guys, that's it. Everyone have a great week, and talk to you next Tuesday.
See ya.